And those of you that have come in, we praise the Lord that we get to be together this morning in this room. Let me just direct us toward our worship today. Think of this: the sound of heaven is praise. The sound of heaven is praise. When you get to the book of Revelation, you keep running into that from the four living creatures around the throne, the 24 elders, and then what John heard that sounded like the sound of rushing water. I mean, tumultuous. If you've ever been to a large waterfall, that's what I picture when I read that. The sound of heaven is praise. And someday we believe we will join them. Not sure how all that's going to be. I don't think that's the only thing we're going to do in heaven, but we're certainly in the presence of the King going to want to praise and let out our praise. So when we gather for worship and we sing a great song of praise to our God, it's rehearsal, all right? It's rehearsal for heaven. And I want to encourage you to join in today. We're going to begin with a brand new song for us. It's just simply called We Praise You, so it's going to be a praise song, and I want to encourage you. Would you stand with us, and let's prepare to worship the Lord.
Morning.
Morning.
Is this on? Turn it back off. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. I am so excited to worship this morning, and we've already had a great time of worship, and we're going to have some more, but we have a few announcements we want to go over first. We are going to go ahead and start with the one offering. So if I could have the ushers come forward for that. The one offering for today is for world missions. So what we give today will go towards spreading the gospel and spreading the love of God around the world. All right, if we bow our heads, please. Dear Lord, thank you so much just for your love for every nation, for every country, for every people's, Lord. And we just pray that you would take this money that's given and that you would help it to be used wisely in the places that it's needed the most, and that it would be used to share your love to the world around us. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so a few announcements. The first one I want to share is the Connect card. And I have a sample of that here for people who don't know what that is. In the back of your seats, you will find a piece of paper like this and a pen. The first part is a Connect card. If you are a visitor with us and this is your first time here, go ahead and fill that out. If you have kids, make sure you put that on there so I can call you for that. I'm the children's director, so that helps me know who to reach out to. On the back, we have a prayer request. If you, even if you already go here and you're not filling out the Connect card, you can still fill out the prayer request card. And if you don't attend church here, you can still fill out the prayer request card, because we want to pray with you for any needs that you have. So if you have a request, please fill that out and just drop it in the offering plate a little later in the service when it comes around. Excuse me, sorry. The next thing we have, a Potter Studio meal. The Potter Studio in Springfield, Missouri is one of the missions outreaches that we do, and they work with international kids, and they provide a meal for all the international kids there at the college, and there is a sign-up paper on the desk out there. If you are able to help provide the meal, we go, we sit down with them. Even if you're not able to go, if you would still help provide a dish, that would be very helpful. But also, if you just want to go and learn about another country and visit with kids from around the world, it's a great time just to get to know people and show them God's love as well. So there's a sign up sheet out there that you can sign up for. That is December 8th. That's a Friday. I have to know days of the week like that or I get confused. Okay, next thing is Share a Meal. We have a ministry here that I know a lot of you already do, but we could use a few more helpers. That's where we provide meals for anybody that is sick, anybody that has, basically they just need help, whatever's going on in their life, and they just need a little bit of help. And sometimes providing a meal is one of the biggest things that you can do for them with what they're going through. And so if you would like to be on that to help share a meal, I would suggest you get on that. We all have gifts, and that is not one of my gifts. So we really need people who can sign up to help share a meal. The next thing I want to talk about is home groups. Now, we have had home groups for a while. For those that have been attending, I go to one. They are wonderful just to build friendships and grow and do life together when things get hard, and even when things are good, just to celebrate together as well. We are wanting to open enrollment, I guess, as you say, because I know sometimes people feel like, well, that one's already established, and I don't know if I should go in the middle of it. So we are opening up all the home groups back up for people to sign up. If you want to keep going to the same one you've been going to, that's great. Put your name down. If you want to try a different one, that's great too. Put your name down on a different one. Or if you haven't gone to any of them, now's a great chance to try one out. So they're listed out there, the different names and locations. Just go ahead. I would really, really encourage you to try out a home group. I was telling somebody earlier this week, people say, well, you know, church isn't my thing, or I'm a Christian, but church isn't my thing. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is that church isn't just about being a Christian, but one of the huge benefits that you get from going to church is your church family. And I don't know how people that don't have a church family get through. I don't understand. You know, my mom was a nurse in the hospital, and she would say, you know, you always knew people who had a church family because their church family would come in to visit them or give them a ride home or whatever the case is. And then there were people that would just sit there with nobody. And church family is just something, it's just something you can't replace. It's amazing. So if you are feeling alone and you feel like you need a church family to come behind you and support you, a home group is a great way to get involved in that and get to know people in your family. All right, next thing, Christmas parade. So we have a sign-up sheet. A lot of you have signed up. We do need more people who can walk. Youth, you guys back there, we really need your energy and excitement and strong legs to walk and hand out papers and candy. So if any of you guys that can help, if you could let me know. Anybody else that can walk, if you could help me know or let me know so we can do that. And then this Saturday, right, the second, at 9 a.m. Ooh, that's coming up fast. Okay, this Saturday at 9 a.m. is when we're putting the float together. So as many people as could come help with that, I would really appreciate that. We all would, and maybe I can even get some donuts there for those that need to, were able to come help. So we'll be putting the float together, and then we will line up at 5:30 that evening to walk. We still do need, we have a lot of things that we need for the float. I know we need white lights, and do we need colored lights, or do you guys have those? Okay, so I think what we're needing are white lights. So if anybody has any strings of white lights that they're not using this year, we'd be happy to give them back once we use them to light that part up. Community Kids Christmas Party. This part I am really excited about. So if I can find my flyer. Well, it's out there on the table. So this year, the Well and Hope Church together are putting together a Community Kids Christmas Party. This is not just for our kids. This is not just for the Well kids. This is for any kid in the community. This is a great opportunity if you have grandkids, nieces, nephews, any kid, your neighbor kid, any kid in your life that is not attending church or is attending church. This is a great opportunity for them to come. We're going to have inflatables, games, crafts, pizza. We're going to have a time of worship, a short message, and then a fun video with popcorn. So it's just a great evening. It starts on the 21st. It's from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., so right after school. Also, if you know any parents or if you're a parent who needs to do some Christmas shopping, this would be a great time for that. Drop off your kids and get some Christmas shopping done. And we have, we're just really excited about just showing God's love. We have an awesome speaker lined up to give the message to the kids, and we're really excited about it. So if you want to help, let me know. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to serve together. And also, if you have any kids in your life that you think would like to come, there are flyers on the welcome desk that you can pick up, and that has a QR code on the back that they can sign and register for the Christmas party. And again, any kid in your life, regardless of what church they go to or where they're in their life, it's grades 1 through 6. So we'd be happy to have as many kids there as we can. Women's Christmas dinner is this Friday at 6:30, and it's here at the church. Bridget Greer has more information on that. I have had somebody tell me before when I've asked them, they've said, well, I don't have a secret sis. Just so you know, if you're not partaking in the secret sister thing, because I'm not doing that. So if you're not doing that, you're still welcome to come. It's not just for those who have a secret sister. It's for all the ladies in the church to just spend a time of fellowship and celebrate together. And if you did not get a chance to join the secret sister this year, then there's a chance to be involved in that as well. So whether or not you've done the secret sister or not, please just come. If you are a lady in the church or if you have a friend that you know, please come and join us for a night of fellowship. Webster County Food Pantry is this Saturday. If you are interested in helping with that, please let Bridget know. Or you can just show up at 8:45, and I'm sure she'll be happy to put you to work. And I think, one last one, church Christmas decorating. I just finished decorating my house, so now we get to decorate the church. So this Wednesday is church decorating. The adults will be decorating, well, most of the church. And then I wanted to let the kids know, we will be decorating our place upstairs. So don't think, it's just church decorating, I don't need to come, because it takes a lot of hands and a lot of work. And the more people we have, the quicker it gets done. And when people come in to worship with us, we want them to feel welcome, and we want them to just sense the spirit of Christmas and the love of God all around them as they walk in. So come on Wednesday, be prepared to decorate for Christmas. And I think that's it that I have for announcements. So we're going to go into meet and greet, if everybody could stand. Find someone that you don't know. Now, with the kids, I tell them, find someone you've never sat by and sat by them. But I'm not going to make you do that this morning. But find somebody you haven't talked to before, maybe, and say good morning. God don't make no mistakes. Nothing he can't erase. Nothing he can't undo. Never gives up on you. Oh, there ain't no lost cause. No one's too far gone. Don't you know there ain't no bliss? Oh, you still belong to the God who stays with you. He won't let go. There ain't no bliss.
toe.
Jesus, yours is the victory.
Oh, surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Moody said, some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God, he said, is not to come at all. One of the beautiful parts of worship is coming together in prayer, and we get to do that now. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we want to thank you that as we come into your presence, our perspective shifts from a temporary world to an eternal world. the values of things that this world esteems are put back in their proper place. And we see again clearly that the spiritual part of us, the part that's going to live forever, our soul, is what really matters. And the sovereign God is on the throne today and has everything we need. So God, we come. We come on your invitation, boldly to your throne, to receive help and find grace. And we're so grateful. We've come through a week of Thanksgiving emphasis. And God, we want to come again and offer our thanks to you. These songs have helped us remember that we have found freedom by being set free from our sins, that we have a home guaranteed in heaven, that we have what resource we need from your hand to live in the day by day in this world. And we want to thank you again for what you have done. Thank you, Jesus, for our salvation. Thank you for your grace, daily grace, sufficient grace. Thank you for loving us first. Thank you for drawing us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence, not only alive in us by the abiding Holy Spirit, but in this room today, the sense of the presence of the eternal God who is here, who is meeting us here. We draw near to you, God. The promise is you draw near to us then. So here we are. I want to thank you too, God, for using us as a church family last Sunday to minister to many, many families in our community with need through the Great Turkey Giveaway. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for that camaraderie that we felt as we labored together doing kingdom work, as the gospel was shared, as people's needs were ministered to. Lord, we pray that those seeds, the love of Christ that was shown, the kind words, the truth of the gospel would continue in their lives and bear fruit, we pray, through the working of the Holy Spirit. We come to you today praying for the situation in the Middle East, grateful that there's been release of some hostages, and Lord, we pray that could continue. But we ask for your help there, knowing that Israel is your special place, and you've designed that, and it's got history, but it's got purpose to this day. So we pray your protection over Israel and over your people, the Jews. And we pray, God, that you would help them in this conflict and protect them. Lord, I want to thank you in seeing Eldon Moore here today. We're rejoicing again at how you're working in his body, and we're praying for strengthening and healing in his life. Praying for Cheryl today and recovery from surgery, and praying for the Galbraiths today, Lord, lifting them up to you. I pray for Joyce Fisher today, and I lift her up to your throne today, Lord. I thank you for her testimony, which includes many great miracles, and we're asking you to touch her once again, God. Give her what she needs from your hand. I pray for Bob down here and for Shannon, and we lift them to your throne today. So glad that we get to come together and seek your face. And Lord, your word is truth. We're going to open it up. We're going to read it together. We're going to put it on the screen. And we're asking God that the Holy Spirit would anoint the truth and apply it to each of us right where we need to hear it, right where it will impact us, what you would ask of us. And then, Lord, I pray as a pastor of this congregation that you would help us in being able to live that truth, and that we would say yes to you in obedience. And we submit all these requests to you and our hearts to you as well. We submit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to come down to the front, and I'm going to ask Rob Hunt and Deanne to meet me down here. Most of you know that Deanne Richter is serving as our children's director, and she's serving in a full-time salaried position and doing a great job. If you have kids, you should say amen, okay? But she's doing a great job. And as we began this journey through interview and all that, we've talked about ministry and what that can look like. And God has been speaking to her and directing her life. And at our church board, at our meeting a week ago, took action, and we are granting Deanne a local minister's license. This puts her into what's called the course of study. There's 25 classes you have to take. It leads toward ordination, but this is the first level. And each year, the church board will review, what she's completed and all of that, and then we'll have to reapprove that every year. But it's a first step, and I'm really proud of you. And I know there's hurdles you've overcome already, and I just am excited about what God's going to teach you and how you're going to grow through this position. Rob Hunt, what can I say about Rob?
Don't let her say.
Okay, I'm not. Rob serves as our youth ministry director, and yeah, he has a cheering section back here, and he serves as a volunteer, but he commits hours and hours to this every week. He impresses me with the plans that he lays and the teaching and lessons and that kind of thing. He's looked into how can I make this more of an official ministry, like with a title. Well, he has been approved now by our church board for a lay ministry certificate. The lay ministry certificate doesn't lead toward like ordination, but it is an annual renewable certificate he has to take classes to, and it will grow him in what he understands about the church and how to minister, and he can focus several of those classes on youth ministry as well. So we are really excited about this, and I just want to invite the church family, if you would, to come around. And I'd like to pray kind of a launching prayer for what God is starting in this official capacity. Would you come up and let's pray together? I'm just going to stand here and put my arms on your shoulders. This is momentous in what God is doing in our congregation. And when we started these positions with Rob and Deanne, didn't see this, but God's made it clear to them, and he'll make it clear to us too as leaders in the church. So I want to pray blessing over you guys. Father, we are so grateful that you have purpose already designed for us that you know fully, and we walk into the day by day, and we begin to realize things as you speak to us and you guide our lives. I want to thank you for Deanne and for Rob and for their obedience, for their desire to follow you and be used by you in ministry, and that, God, we're praying that you will especially bless them in the assignment that you've given them and in the pursuit of education and training that they're going to need in moving forward, that you will bless them. We pray not only for their faithfulness but for their fruitfulness, that there will be souls in heaven because they obeyed you, because they did everything you asked of them. And Lord, I pray you'd protect them from the enemy and his desire to thwart their ministry and cause them discouragement. Lord, I pray that you would raise them up with the power of God, the strength of God, and that you would use them mightily in these days. Bless them in their studies. Bless them in how those studies will apply to their week in and week out ministry, and use them greatly among us. May it be that as a church body, we rejoice together as we see how you use their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen and amen. Praise God. I'm going to invite you to prepare to give together. We'll call the ushers up in just a moment. In preparation for my message today about the giving season, I came across this illustration, and it didn't fit in the sermon, But I thought, I have to share that. So some of you are familiar with the ministry of Brother Andrew. He was a missionary known for smuggling Bibles into the Eastern European communist countries during the Cold War. And he risked his life many times, and God protected him and did mighty things as he took carloads of Bibles in behind the Iron Curtain where they were forbidden. In his book, The Narrow Road, he tells how he and a team of students were sent out on a missionary tour through Scotland. This is when they were in college. They were given a one-pound note. Now, this would have been back in the day, so it was worth more than a dollar, but a one-pound note, and expected to pay for their own transportation, food, lodging, building rentals, advertising, and any other expenses. And they were expected at the end of their tour to give back the 1 pound to the school. They were given specific instructions that they could not take up any offerings. In fact, they could not tell anyone of their need for money. They had to go out for 4 weeks and just do this ministry. Andrew and his team of 5 other students set out on their 4-week mission tour with their 1 pound note and their instructions. They followed the instructions, and God provided for their needs. Here's what he wrote in his book. Later, when I tried to reconstruct where our funds came from during those 4 weeks, it was hard to. It seemed that what we needed was always just there. Sometimes a letter would arrive from one of the boys' parents with a little money. Sometimes we would get a check in the mail from a church we had visited. The notes that came with these gifts were always interesting. Things like, I know you don't need the money or you would have mentioned it, someone would write. But God just wouldn't let me get to sleep tonight until I'd put this in an envelope for you. Andrew and his team stuck to the rule of not collecting money and added one of their own. They committed to tithe on everything they received and to do so as soon as they received it. When the boys returned to school, they were able to pay back the 1 pound note and had money left over to send to missions. And he compares that with another student group that was sent out at the same time. The college sent out 2 student groups, same instructions, don't ask for money. The other team wasn't as strict on tithing. He said they set aside 10%, all right, but they didn't give it away immediately in case they ran into an emergency. And of course, they had emergencies. So did we every day. But they ended their month owing money to hotels, lecture halls, and markets all over Scotland while we came back to school almost 10 pounds ahead. You cannot outgive God. And some of you know that. You could testify to it. You could preach the sermon today about giving. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward and allow you to put that into practice. Let's let God bless us through our obedience in giving. Father, we have received so much from your hands. We are truly a very blessed people. Now, as we give back to you, we pray, Lord, for the promised blessing that's listed already in Scripture, that you would pour back into us with the same measure we use, that you would pour back into our lives, and that, God, there would be much blessing in this congregation as we obey you and we serve you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Made roses. is in the whisper if you listen closely. Winter means the spring is just a breath away. So don't go any faster than this very moment. And sing a hallelujah in the pouring rain. Can't you see that he must have known about the heartbreaks long before us? He must have known about the mistakes, but still he chose us. Planted the tree where he would die, thorns down the vine, and then he wore them. Love is the blood red stain, the beauty that the pain exposes. Maybe that's why God made a the heartbreaks long before us. He must have known about the mistakes, but still he chose us. Planted the tree where he would die, thorns down the vine, and then he wore them. Love is the blood red stain, the beauty that the pain exposes. Maybe that's why God made roses. Maybe that's why God made roses.
Thank you, Colin. It's always great to have Colin Bailey back. He's in Nashville working on all kinds of stuff, and he might run into the Colin Bailey Band down the line, right? That's one of the things he's working on. It's always good to have you here. Thank you for leading us. Well, Black Friday has come and gone. If you didn't get out on Friday, you might have missed it. Here's some of what you missed. The big box stores, Bass Pro, Front Cover. You could buy a bolt-action rifle package. I mean, you'd get a 30-06 if you want to. $359.99, so $360. If you're a member of their club, if you'll let them send you all their advertising flyers and the online stuff, it'll just fill up your inbox. You can get it for $300. So I went back here. I have a Garmin smartwatch. I think I paid $25 for it on eBay. They have one, I think it's an older model, but it lists for $900. And they had it on sale on Black Friday for $400. It lists for $950. They had it for $400 on Black Friday. And I told Cheryl, I said, man, if I had one of those, I'd never get lost. Yeah, she laughed too. Okay. Menards, if you want to think a little smaller, they had a 4.5-foot pre-lit Christmas tree for $19.99, half price. I was thinking, yeah, think small for Christmas rather than big, okay? And then they have a whole page of stuff for your pet. So they got pet toys and pet clothes and pet beds. And this one struck me. I've never seen this advertised this way, but on the pet page, laser pointer for cats and dogs. Well, there you go. I didn't know they needed a laser pointer. Sometimes I need one up here, but okay. This is the season of giving, okay? If your household is anything like ours, you've already been buying gifts that you plan to give at Christmas. Now, people tend to get nervous when in the church we talk about giving, but let's be realistic, people. You've been talking about giving all week, right? And we know about giving. Christmas reminds us. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, and I want to pull you into what I'll be preaching through the Advent season, up through Christmas. There are these devotional books called Joy of Every Longing Heart. We've got them out here on the welcome desk. We're asking you to cover the cost. It's $7. And so there's an envelope in there. If you take one, you can put that in the offering. We're not asking you to sign up. We're not tracking you down. And if you can't afford the $7, if you really can't, then don't worry about it. But if you wanna kind of follow along and it'll kind of prepare you for what I'll be preaching starting next Sunday, then pick one of these up and take it with you and dig in. It'll challenge your thinking. It'll broaden your perspectives as you approach Christmas this year. But Christmas reminds us about the giving season. And our faith is based on God's great gift to us, the salvation that was purchased by Jesus, who left the throne of heaven, and we're going to walk through all of that during the Advent season. He became the sacrifice for our sins. God gave his all, his firstborn son. That's the message of the gospel, and we have the offer of salvation, the greatest gift of all, given by the greatest giver of all, God himself. He is the giving God. And so he calls us to be giving people. Last Sunday, we partnered together as a congregation and we blessed like 120 families by providing them a turkey and all the fixings for Thanksgiving dinner. And I said this in last Sunday's message. What should the life of Jesus look like when it's lived out in the world? It looks like a grateful heart that gives God praise. It is living that is not primarily focused on ourselves, but on others. Living that is not primarily focused on temporary, but on eternal things. And I feel like we were able to do some of that last Sunday, just in person, right here. And I want to thank everybody who was a part of the great turkey giveaway. Well, you'll find this quote in your notes. Giving is more than a responsibility, it is a privilege. More than an act of obedience, it is evidence of our faith. Well, if a preacher was going to preach a sermon on giving, and specifically on tithing, where do you think they would go? Well, I'd raise my hand and go, Malachi chapter 3, Pastor. And you're right. So we're going to go there. Malachi chapter 3, I'm going to read just a few verses. It's got quite a context to it, and I'll mention just a little bit of that after we read the passage. Here are the words of the prophet Malachi to the people that he ministered to. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. In the Old Testament, God gave very specific instructions about the tithe, to bring 10% of what he blesses your life with, to bring it back to him. And Leviticus says that the tithe is holy to the Lord. So, like, it's not just like, if you feel like it, you can do it. It's like, this is what you're supposed to do to worship me and serve me, says God. But by the time Malachi came along, giving to God had become pretty casual and even ignored in many places. So that's the situation Malachi is confronting in this passage. So he starts off by saying, will a man rob God? And the people pretended to be unaware of what he was trying to talk about, right? How have we robbed God? And he's pretty direct in tithes and offerings. So Malachi urged the people of his generation to get back to the kind of worship that God is expecting from us. to bring their tithes to the place of worship. Perhaps in the season of giving, a reminder would be in order for us. As we talk about spreading hope together, one of the ways we do that is to fund the mission so we spread that hope. And tithing is God's support plan for the ministry of his kingdom. So, as we think about giving family gifts and presents to our friends and others around us, let's also remember God, the greatest giver, who calls us to give. And so, if you have the note sheet there, what I'm going to do is ask four questions. That's kind of where we're going to walk through this together. So, my first question is this. Whose stuff is it anyway? Whose is it? So we're preparing to have all of our kids and grandkids at our house for Christmas. It's going to be a zoo. But that means we're going to have 2 1-year-olds at our house, and we're going to have a 3-year-old and 4 older children. And I am already bracing myself for some possession issues to arise among their toys. It is amazing how easily toddlers shout out, "Mine!" It's one of the first words in a child's vocabulary. You know that. But think about this. It's not just a word. It's an attitude. And I know it's not just a word that kids think, because I've run into adults that if they would have said it out loud, but they were too polite, they were thinking, "Mine! That belongs to me." But here's what the scripture teaches us. God owns it all. Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all its people, belong to him." Really, when we give to God, we're just taking our hands off of what already belongs to him. We can think it's ours. It's all his. So to be a good steward of everything that God has given to us, we have to recognize that what we have belongs to him in the first place. It's not mine, it's God's. And tithing is not a matter of giving up something that belongs to me, because you're a steward, you're a temporary caretaker of some things that you've accumulated in your life, but they're God's resources in your life, and he still has a claim on every one of them. Zig Ziglar, a motivational speaker of the last generation, he tells the story of a farmer who was listening to a preacher giving a sermon on tithing. And the preacher talked about how God owns everything. But the farmer disagreed. So after the service, the farmer invites the preacher out to his farm for dinner. And following the meal, the farmer says, "Hey, let me show you what we got here." And they take a walk outside. And the farmer makes a point of showing the preacher everything he had: his house, his barn, his shop, his pastures, his cattle, his crops. And then he asked the preacher, "Listen, preacher, I've worked all my life on this land. Do you mean to tell me that it's not mine, but it's God's?" Well, the preacher had to think about how you answer that question. And then he said this. The preacher said, "Ask me in 100 years. God owns it all. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Whose stuff is it anyway?" Here's my second question. Who are you depending on? If you've ever been given a diagnosis of cancer or another disease with debilitating symptoms, you felt the helplessness of something beyond your control. Cheryl and I are living there right now. And it causes you to face this question: who are you depending on? King David faced threats to his kingdom, internal threats, external threats, things he could not control. And here is his declaration, Psalm 20. "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Here's what I know. Many of us are very good at feeling as though we can manage life on our own. So we turn to God only when it's clear that we're in over our heads, or this is something we don't know anything about, or we get stuck along the way. But returning the tithe to God reminds us that our entire existence is dependent on Him. Our jobs, our income, our family, our possessions, our investments, our friends have all come through Him. Whether you're a believer or not, that statement is still true. It's all come through Him. Because without God, we are nothing. Without God, we have nothing. So bringing back the tithe to God is a perfect outward reminder of our dependence on Him. With the tithe, we say, I'm going to give you the 10%. I'm going to release that back to you. But it really allows us to understand He owns it all. He has the 100%. We're only asked to release back 10%. And we're saying from the depth of our being, I'm going to trust you, God, to meet all my needs with the 90% after I give this to you. And I'm depending on you, God, who are you depending on? Here's my third question. What is your attitude? Whenever I've preached on giving, there's some reactions. Maybe you're self-controlled enough not to cross your arms and kind of block me out with a physical display. But maybe inside you're like, no, I don't agree with that. What is your attitude? I love the praise of 1 Chronicles 16. The context is that the ark is being brought to Jerusalem, and there's great praise that whole day. And David is absolutely thrilled. This is the day that he danced before the Lord, and his wife thought he was not doing what he should be doing as a king. So this is what the praise said. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Ralph Cashman said, the worship that is empty-handed is simply not worship at all. Here's something that can affect our attitude, even in the lives of longtime Christians. Because when we give back to God, it's usually like a banking transaction, right? You're writing a check, or you're doing a debit, or you're online, or you're putting money in an envelope. It's like a banking transaction. It's like paying a bill. That's not very worshipful feeling, is it? And so we can too easily lose that sense of worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Because this is like, well, I got to get my money ready, and maybe you stick it in the front of your Bible, or you tuck it in your purse, or however you do it, and then when the plates are passed, you're ready. Well, what is your attitude? The way you bring your tithe is a matter of attitude. Now, let me just tell you this. You cannot impress God by giving a large amount of money. He doesn't need your money. We do, but He doesn't. He's looking at your obedience. So the child who tithes 50 cents on a $5 allowance is being just as obedient as the business owner who drops $1,000 in the offering because of a $10,000 increase in their business. And that's what God sees, your obedience, and He sees your attitude. The story of Cain and Abel, it highlights that for us. I've different commentators look at it different ways. Some of them say, well, was it a meat offering that God wanted, and He didn't want the grain offering, or whatever that was. I think it boils down to attitude. So Cain and Abel, the the sons of Adam and Eve, Cain being the firstborn. He was a farmer like his dad. He grew crops. His brother Abel raised animals, probably sheep or goats. And even in those early days, it's interesting, Genesis chapter 4, that an offering was part of worship. The two brothers brought their offerings to God. So Cain grabs some of the crops and from his fields, and Abel brings an animal. Actually, he'd cut it up and he offered the best parts to God. But something was wrong. God was pleased with Abel's offering, and he accepted it, but he rejected Cain's offering. Not acceptable. Why? And looking at the text, it seems that it boils down to attitude, that Abel prepared and brought the best portions of meat. It talks about he brought the fat of those animals and offered them to God, while it appears that Cain just like grabbed some crops, like, oh, okay, it's time to worship. I'm just going to go and take this. Maybe a flippant attitude, maybe an attitude of I don't care, or maybe this isn't exactly 10%, but I'm just going to take what I got right here. And they came to give with different attitudes. New Testament, the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 9, talks about the connection between attitude and giving. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly, another translation says, not grudgingly, or under compulsion, or out of necessity, another translation, for God loves a cheerful giver. Attitude. So attitude goes beyond just like smiling when you put the money in the plate. It's way deeper than that, right? We know that. For too many people, tithing ends up being kind of an exercise of guilt and calculation. Stuff like this runs through our brain. Like, can I really afford to give 10% back to God? Or do I give 10% of my net or my gross pay? Or if I pay my tithe, will I have enough to pay my bills this week? Or we probably wouldn't admit this to anybody else, but we might resort to toddler-like mentality of selfishness. Like, I worked hard for this. I deserve to spend some of this money on me. But recognizing God's ownership of it all helps remove those obstacles and open the doors for generosity. And a generous heart comes to God open-handed, gladly, to give all that he asks. What is your attitude? And here's my last question. Do you want to be blessed? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. The promise of God's blessing in Malachi 3 is just as important as his warning earlier about robbing God. And I want you to note, God doesn't make a habit of challenging people to test him. I mean, his word is law. If he says it, you're supposed to do it. But here he says, test me. Take my challenge. And he puts himself out there and he dares his people to put him to the test, put his name and his reputation on the line with an amazing promise. I will pour out so much blessing, you will not have room enough for it. Woo. Well, that's Old Testament, Pastor. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. How blessed do you want to be? With the same measure you use, it will be given back to you. William Carey, pioneer missionary to India, he's one of the heroes of the faith. He said this: "Not once have I been witness to God's failure to supply my need when first I had given for the furtherance of his work. He has never failed in his promise, so I cannot fail in my service to him." Well, there's an application in this somewhere for you. So let me just highlight some areas and let the Holy Spirit just poke you and go, that's it. That's the one you need to do. So I'm asking some questions here. Would you listen to God? Are there areas of your life that you're having difficulty trusting God? This is bigger than did you give a tithe in the offering. Are there areas where you're having trouble trusting God? I believe the Holy Spirit could be prompting some of you to just trust him. Release that thing you've been trying to control and let him have it instead. His ways are always best. That's my testimony. Maybe it's this one. Is God asking you to put him to the test like we just read in Scripture? That you would take the faith step of beginning to tithe 10% of your income to him. I'm praying the Holy Spirit pokes some of you for that. And you can't avoid it. Or are there areas in your life you've been trying to handle on your own, but you need to release them? The Holy Spirit will just highlight that specific thing. He wants you to release it to him. How about your attitude? Are you a cheerful giver, or do you need an adjustment in your giving? Holy Spirit, poke them. Here's the last one. Do you have resources from God that he's asking you to surrender? That may not be money. It may be a gift he's given you or an ability to do certain things. And he is coming to your heart's door today and he's saying, I need that. Would you obey him? I'm going to invite our worship team to come to the front and I want to lead us in prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I thank you for the joy of being able to share this truth because it's so liberating, it's so life-giving as people obey you because the blessing begins to flow, and I've seen it over and over in many lives, and the testimonies of the saints are about how good God is and how generous God is, and it was formed in that attitude of giving and generosity. And in this season of giving, where we're talking about preparing to give to many people at Christmas, you've come to challenge us today about our giving to you. And we want to be found faithful in that. So, Lord, I'm praying today for some who are holding on to some things that they need to release. For others who are just afraid to trust you. And they're trying to stay in control of something that you're going to be able to do far better with. I'm praying for the one that you're speaking to today about beginning to tithe. And they see it as this huge mountain in front of them that they don't know if they can handle that. And yet you're speaking to them, so if they obey you, there'll be a breakthrough. I pray for them. I pray for those that need an attitude adjustment, that their giving has been grudgingly. They've just felt like they had to give and they didn't have the right attitude. I pray, God, you would deal with us in our attitudes. And I pray for those that are here that have a resource that you're trying to tap for the sake of your kingdom. It's probably not even part of a tithe. It's obedience in open giving availability of the resources you've entrusted to us. God, it's yours anyway. Use it like you need to. Use it as you will. Thank you, God. Our altars are always open. So as we sing, if you need to respond to God in that way, please come and kneel and pray and just drive a stake today. I'm going to trust God with this. I'm going to release this to God. I'm going to obey God this way. I'm going to let him work in me through this. Thank you, Lord, that you're here and you've spoken. Help us now in obeying you, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand reverently in his presence and let's sing together.
Trust in you alone, and I.
is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Amen. That's a good prayer right there in that song. So at Hope Church of the Nazarene, we are all about loving Jesus and spreading hope. And we spent the month of November talking about spreading hope together. So we gather, we join together in the sanctuary. God meets us here. Hopefully he's ministered to you in ways that send you out strengthened and ready to go. But not a one of us knows beyond this moment what life holds. So we're going to walk with him, all right? Don't let go of him. And we realize as we walk out these doors that there's people out there with great need that we're going to encounter this week. God's going to set some of that up for us. And we're supposed to spread the hope that we have received from Christ. Would you do that? Let's go. It's like I send you like missionaries. Send you out the door to do what God asks you to do this week. And most of us don't know what that's going to be. But he knows. Lord, would you send us now? You've changed us from the inside out. We don't want to be hoarders of good news. We want to be messengers of good news. And in spreading that good news, we know there is hope for a hopeless world. And you're sending us. God, go with us. Go with us in power, in boldness, in courage, in wisdom, all that we need this week. We pray you'll pour that into us and use us as we go. We're going to walk with you, Jesus, step by step and day by day. And we love you. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's go serve him. Amen.